sinners. What is up? Welcome back to another episode of the show, Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, as always, Shane Told, bringing you into the backstage conversations that I have with other front men and front women. And it happened. There was a lot of emails, a lot of requests, phone messages, Instagram messages, you name it. Everybody wanted to hear from this week's guest, Miss Courtney LaPlante of Spirit Box, a band that seemingly came out of nowhere, but they've been doing it for a little while, and she's been doing it for even longer. And this is an incredible story, incredible episode, and truly just such a talented singer. Really, really awesome to pick her brain. I am so happy I could have her on. So sit back and get ready for another great episode. A big shout out to everyone that tuned in to the Silverstein Next Level live stream that we did on Sunday. It was a lot of fun. Felt good to get back on the horse. It was very tiring after sitting here for 4 months to sing all those songs, but we put together something we were really proud of. It was a lot of fun. It was entertaining. We wanted to put in the fun in-between stuff, the commercials, and everything else. So if you missed it, you might be able to check it out before it's gone, because it's up for a little while on demand. If not, well, maybe we'll do something else sometimes. But thank you everyone so much for tuning in. Also, thanks to everyone who tuned in for the two-part episode with Brendan Murphy of Counterparts last week. That man can talk, huh? He is a talker. If you missed it, go back, check it out as well. And also, you can check out the other like 220-something episodes that I have up if you've got time. And a lot of us do have time right now. And if you've listened to all of them and you still want more, we have bonus episodes available. Merchandise, interaction with me, interaction with other fans of the show in an awesome community. That is the Lead Singer Syndrome All Access Club. For as little as $6 a month, it gets you in. And that is what keeps this thing going every week for free. Thank you so much to all the members worldwide. I love y'all so much. If you want to get in touch with me, you can do that as well very easily. Send me an email, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. Add me to social media at Shane Told or at leadsingersyndrome or at leadsingersyn, depending. Give it a search. It will pop right up. Shout out to our sponsor, Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. I got a fridge full of them. I love them. It is the best beer to celebrate the wins of today, big or small. Celebrate responsibly, okay? Anyway, let's get into it. It's a good conversation with Courtney LaPlante of Spirit Box. And if I lose myself, Courtney.
Hi, Shane.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great. Awesome. I'm going lovely. Thanks for calling me. Can you hear me okay? I always find that like AirPods don't have a good sound quality compared to like your face right up against the phone.
They're actually worse. If you actually don't mind not using them, this is a good comparison, actually. Yes. Please
switch. I've learned that the hard way. Like doing interviews, like my own interviews with people, and then my AirPods die, and I'm like, oh great, now the audio is perfect. Yep. I wish I had known that. Okay, one sec.
Sure.
Let me take these things off. Okay, that must be better, right?
It is better.
These things are a sham.
And now I'm recording this, so I have proof, right?
Yeah.
No, it's true. Like, I've done so many with AirPods, and people think it's fine, but they advertise that they have some kind of noise reduction or something. But I swear, when I'm talking to somebody, I hear the fucking birds more than I hear them. You know, when they're, like, walking around outside, it's like, this is horrible.
And I, and it's something I never would have known unless, like I said, my one time I was doing my own, like an interview for my own stuff. So I, you know, right. I had the audio that I was going through and editing it, and during it, my AirPods died and I was so frustrated because I was like, oh, damn it. It's not going to sound as good. And then I was like, we've all been bamboozled.
Yes. Well, thank you for holding the phone for the podcast. Yeah, it's so lovely to have you. You know, Spirit Box has made like a crazy splash over the past, like only like month, really. Like so many people are finding out about you now. And I know you've been doing it for, you know, the better part of a decade. You know, it's pretty cool. In fact, like this is the really funny thing. I don't know if you guys just like tweeted about me or doing this, but I've had from one. Wait, what time here? I'm looking at my email inbox.
Yeah.
From 1:27 to 1:51 p.m. today, I had 4 emails trying to get you on the show.
Damn, no, so I promise. I didn't do a campaign. I just, your show's awesome.
And I'm just replying back to them being like, I'm calling her in 33 minutes. Like, and everyone's like, oh, this is so cool. So like, the hype is real right now, and a lot of people are going to be excited for this podcast.
That's so awesome to hear because I'm a fan of this podcast.
Well, thank you.
It's you know, I have a job where I just sit there entering mind-numbing data into a computer for 8 hours a day, and it's like my escape from that.
Oh, cool.
So I really appreciate it. Okay. I really appreciate it.
Okay, so you're familiar with the format a little bit.
I
what
am,
I do.
Yeah.
So that's great. Okay, wonderful. So yeah, I know you're from Victoria, British Columbia. I'm Canadian as well, as you must know.
Yeah.
And that's a kind of a crazy place to grow up. And a lot of people, you know, that aren't from Canada, even people that aren't from BC, won't really understand the whole dynamic of where exactly you're from. You grew up there too, right?
Yes and no. It's hard to say. I'm right now I'm 50-50. I've been in America for 15 years as a kid. It's where I'm from. And then I've been in Canada for 15 years. So pretty soon I'll have the majority of my years be in Canada.
Oh, so you're from the States originally?
Yeah, but I've lived here since I was 15 years old. So my whole adult life has been here and before.
Right.
But yeah, so I totally understand when I tell people about it, how they felt, because as someone who grew up with the American school curriculum, when my mom informed us that we were moving to Victoria, British Columbia, Canada, all I said was, where? What's that?
right, exactly.
An island.
Yeah, it's an island. It's very isolated. And even some Canadians don't get that. Oh, well, it's Vancouver. Well, it's no. Vancouver Island. It's not Vancouver. Vancouver's not on Vancouver Island. It's a separate island. It's very big. And it has the main city is called Victoria. But it's like there's no road to it. You have to take like a ferry or a flight to get off.
That's the part that people don't quite understand.
Yes.
Especially if, like, let's say back in the day in our old band, if someone was trying to can you guys just fly out of Vancouver instead of Victoria to meet up for this tour? Which is, it's a lot cheaper. And we're like, it's actually not, because we have to take the ferry and then we have to get hotels and yada yada. So it's a confusing place, because I'm assuming you've spent a ton of time on the West Coast too, like in all your adventures, and you know, it's just a lot of it. It's really different here. Everyone always thinks that, for some reason, everyone thinks Canada's like this tundra, like that it doesn't have seasons.
Right.
And then we don't even really, you know, our thing, we're like, wow, it snowed this year. Wasn't that exciting? It snowed.
No, I know. Victoria is absolutely beautiful. It's a beautiful place to, grow up. Well, it's weird. Like when you say 15, like that's a lot of formative years spent.
Yeah.
Not, you know, especially musically, like they always say, you know, that's probably, I assume that's when you probably were finding out about like, you know, rock music and stuff. Where in the States did you spend the first 15 years?
Well, I was born in Maine, which is why you probably can't really hear much of a accent that you can pinpoint, but I've lived the majority of my years in Alabama.
Oh.
From ages like 5 to 15. And then but my family, we weren't from there.
You know, we had weird accents to them. And then I lived there for 10 years. And then I moved, you know, by the time I moved here, I guess I had a little Southern accent, but, it's been, you know, got beaten out of me over the last 15 years.
That's funny.
Big contrast of two different places.
That's funny you bring that up, because I think I was like watching an old, I Wrestled a Bear Once interview, just doing my research that I do. And I thought I heard a little bit of twang there.
Yeah, it's probably because I was hanging out with those Louisiana boys. So they rubbed off on me, my old habits.
Yeah, so I wondered about that. But it's true, like, lead singers, as we do, we tend to, like, kind of lose and acquire accents and vocabulary, I think, more than other members of bands, just because we're the
ones doing the talking
or whatever. It's true.
Yeah. Oh, it's so embarrassing when I watch myself doing an interview with someone like with maybe a German accent or something. And I do that awkward, you can only tell people do it when you're watching them, but you don't hear yourself doing it, where it's like all of a sudden you start to kind of like also change the cadence of how you're talking too. Like you're mimicking them kind of. And it's not on purpose. It's so embarrassing when I look back. I'm like, oh, I'm glad only 50 people watched this one.
Well, that's funny. Well, anyway, you know, you've had such a crazy, kind of crazy career, and I don't really know where to start, but I feel like let's just start at what's going on right now. You know, it's really exciting. Obviously, like the whole pandemic happens in, you know, March, and everything is shut down. Everything is put on hold. I know you work in the healthcare field, so you still have work, which is great for the time being. But I know you know, Spirit Box is planning on launching all this stuff. And obviously, touring is a big part of promoting that.
Yeah. Well, it was quite dramatic for us because we happened to be on tour in Europe when we After the Burial, and we, you know, and they're an American band, and the guy that's playing with us is American, and they were all of a sudden, you know, one minute we were leaving Switzerland having too many drinks and went going to the gas station getting snacks, and then all of a sudden it was, you know, our managers being like, you guys might want to see this, there's the travel band's about to be enacted. And we were all like, oh my God. You know, we were just thinking, okay, so we'll get to the UK and we're just not going to be able to do the last, the last couple shows when we go back to Europe. And that sucks. But, you know, at least we can do like the next 8 days. But the After the Burial guys are wise and have been doing this for a long time. And they were just like, you guys, that's not going to happen. We're going home tomorrow. We have children and stuff. We are not going to be trapped in another country away from our families. And, you know, so it's our first tour, right? So we're like, oh God, how are we going to pay for all this stuff? But they made the right executive decision because, you know, 48 hours later, everything was shut down and there was no flights home.
No, that's exactly what happened to us too. We were on tour. We were in the States, so a little closer. But same thing. Yeah, it was horrible.
I know. Horrible. And how far along was your tour?
We were 10 shows into like 35 or whatever it was.
So you're in that perfect sweet spot where you were like, hey, this is going well. Let's order a bunch more merch.
Oh yeah, that's what happened.
You know, us too. I mean, obviously we didn't. Our scale of ordering compared to what your band would order is much, much smaller, but still it's like, damn it. I wish this had just happened like a couple days later.
No, we had just, cause we just finished the East Coast. Like we did New York and Philadelphia and like, you know, some of our biggest markets. Mm-hmm. So we literally put in the merch order and it got shut down. And now, so I'll plug SilversteinStore.com if anyone wants to check
it out. Yes. Help them. You got everything that they need.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And how has that ever happened to you before? Like, it's something that you're like, okay, I mean, things can happen. Someone could pass away, or like someone could, a band could break up or something, but you never think about it happening on the tour. You know, that was pretty nuts for everybody.
No, like literally, you know, and my band's been doing it a long time. I think we've been touring, you know, for 17 years, full time, you know, straight through. I think there was one time when the drummer for Bayside passed away on tour in an accident. That was 2005. We shut down the tour for,
of course,
you know, like, well, we didn't cancel it completely, but we shut down the tour for like a week or 10 days or something, and then we resumed it. Mm-hmm. But other than that, never. So for
it's just unprecedented for
everybody. It is. I mean, for not just for, you know, me personally, but I mean, for everything to shut down all at once is like nuts. So
yeah, it's, you know, it's, we'll never forget this. That's for sure. No one will forget this.
That's right. And Make Them Suffer was on that tour too. Cause when you said after the burial, I was like, wait a second, who did I talk to? And I talked to Booka, about their experience too. So it's really funny
what an angel.
That you were, well, you were on the same tour and I didn't even put two and two together till right now. So that's
It, for the brief moment we were all together, it was definitely the perfect group of people for us to be with. As you know, even though we've all done collectively played a lot of shows, thousands of shows in our lives, it's still been 5 years since we did anything like that. And so we really wanted to make a good you know how it is when you have the opening band who doesn't know what they're doing and it's just so you're trying to be nice, but it's very frustrating. So it's funny enough, I've never actually opened a tour before. So it was awesome because I was able to not be so stressed out about the load onto the stage and I could just focus on the load off the stage. So that was good. And everyone was very sweet and helpful to us.
That's so true. Like back in the day of, you know, early in our career, there were times when I would much rather play first than second. Because at least when
I'm
you play
playing second.
Yeah, when you play first, like you have all the time in the world to set up your shit and make sure everything works. Sometimes you
need
a sound check.
All that time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We for a band like us that we always joke we're an internet band who we don't ever get to play. You know, none of us, only me and my husband live in the same place.
Right.
We don't ever, I mean, we've had, I don't know, maybe 10 band practices ever in 3 years. We just can't, we don't, you know, we practice on our own a lot and we get together and it sounds pretty good, but you know, it still is intimidating when you're in Germany and you've never really played together very much. Having that sound check, kind of puts you in as much of a relaxing mood as possible, which you can't really be too relaxed when you're you're new and everyone's looking at you.
Well, it seems like Spirit Box was built for quarantine mode a little bit then, right?
Seriously, I feel guilty, you know, because I'm listening, all my friends who are crew members and in bands, you know, and when you're in a band of your size, people don't understand, like, you're a business, there's you employ people, like there's people that rely on you for their income, for their families. Like, I don't think people understand what a big operation these things are and how hands-on it is. So, you know, it's a different experience for you, but for all those crew people and all those bands that are just suffering a lot right now, I feel guilty because this is just my normal reality is wishing to tour and being so frustrated that I don't have the means and the money to throw down on that kind of thing yet. And then just trying to really be efficient and try to be smart and not just, you know, do anything just for my ego so that I feel like I got to go on a tour, you know? So now this is business as usual for us. So this is back. I'm back in my comfort zone.
Interesting.
Now.
Yeah. It's almost like it sort of evens the playing field a little bit, right? Like, as long as you have a computer and a phone and like, you know, you can make a video and you know, you can showcase, you know, like your actual talent that you have.
Yeah. And that's another thing where that's the being broke. And being in a remote area sure makes you have to kind of rely on yourself. So we're still able to like make music. You know, we don't want to make any more music ourselves and we don't want to make any more music videos ourselves,
right.
But it's nice to know that we can, if we have to. Absolutely. And it looks like we might have to at this rate.
Right. I mean, Canada, we're doing pretty well right now. I think BC, you guys are doing like exceptionally well,
I feel so guilty because I, you know, all my friends in the States and all my, you know, all my elderly relatives are scared to leave the house or are ill. And then meanwhile, I mean, you know, our lives are pretty much back to normal. The only place I have to wear a mask is like if I go to the doctor or something or the dentist. And then, you know, I just walk, I go to the gym, I go to the grocery store. We're allowed to go out to dinner and go out for drinks. And it's just, life's a lot more normal for us. And I think mentally that just makes things so much easier to try to get through all this stuff.
Yeah, it's true. I'm sure like a lot of Americans, their jaws are dropping right now, knowing there's a place in North America where you can do all that.
I know.
You know, and it's
such a shame.
Yeah, but hey, you took measures early on, you know, because like the Pacific Northwest got hit real hard or real early, right? So
You
had a little bit more of a heads up than other places.
Yeah, we automatically got stressed out because of Washington. So our province in general, and of course, you know, we can brag all we want about how well we did, but we also live on an island. You can only get to it by an airplane or a ferry, which was shut down essentially. So our geography also kind of did the work for us as
totally,
well.
Totally. Mm-hmm. So your one take videos that you've done on YouTube,
mm-hmm.
I feel like the most recent one was it Holy Roller that you did? Is that the song?
Well, I'm working on that one now, but what's the most recent one I did was, I'm acting like I've done a bunch. I've only done a couple because I'm a big baby, but the Rule of Nines one. I have pink hair in that one.
Yes, Rule of Nines. Yes, exactly. Sorry, my bad.
I always think about it by my hair color.
That's
like, wait,
cool.
I have pink hair, that one.
Well, that video, I think a lot of people saw that and went, holy shit, like this is for real. Like, this is not fake. This is not like overly produced. This is just this is just an incredible vocalist right here. And I think a lot of people took notice to your band just from that. How's that been, the feedback, just on something that's so focused on you and, you know, your voice?
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of people, I don't know what it is. It's in every genre of music, but especially in like the metal and hard rock area, I just feel like there's so much stuff that's presented as live and unedited, but you know, it's clearly in a good way, it's edited and it's not live, it's several takes. And I feel like, you know, all of us, I think we all have like a lot more control of our content that we put out, so we're able to, you know, edit everything and do a couple takes and put it together and make it appear live in our world, because you know, we're not, most of us aren't going on the Today Show and having to do a song, you know, like we get to control what comes out for like studio stuff.
Yeah.
And it just always, you know, like I think that people appreciate something feeling a bit more raw and leaving the imperfections in. If the whole point is to showcase how you would be in a studio environment, because, you know, if I can do it 10 times and then I can cut from all that and it'll be perfect. Like, but that's how I would record it on our album. So I thought it would be fun to show people that are interested in like the transition between singing and screaming, to get to show them like how that would actually look in real life. It's just like
right.
a thing. It's something that fascinates me, and I don't really see it a lot. It usually just seems a little like, it seems like it's not actually live when you see one. So,
well, it's that. Yeah. I mean, and that's what impressed me so much, but you know, as a guy that knows a thing or two about singing and screaming together.
Yeah, it's weird. It's hard. And it's a weird thing that most people don't do.
Yeah, but I don't do it in the studio. I would never. I would do my singing vocals, all my singing vocals.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, like, you know, and this, maybe I'll lose some, you know, people think it's all magic and you just sing it. But no, like I'll sing line by line on a song if I have to.
Oh, of course.
And I'll go
over
and over and over again on one line until I get it. And then if I am like, if I consistently am, there's a word that's sounding funny, we'll punch in just that little word.
Of course. Yeah. And you got to comp everything.
Yeah. And, you know, so if somebody watched me do what you did. Oh man. No. Like I would, no. Like I'd be putting, there'd be auto tune and there'd be like, you know, some kind of like major compression and something else on my screams. Like there, that's the real shit. So I think a lot of people by now and after, you know, this isn't just like, this kind of music didn't just come out like a year ago. Like this has been going on for decades now. So a lot of people are aware that, okay, there's some studio magic going on these recordings. So I think that's really what was so special about yours.
Yeah. Well, I did a good job, but I purposely left in, there's a lot of imperfections in there that I was a little flat and a little, but you know, it's just,
right.
I hope that by the time I'm at like where you are in your career, I hope that that's my worst performance. Like, I hope I get better and better. I really only can go up. Like I think once I start working with, I'd love to start actually working with vocal coaches and stuff. And, I hope that really helps me too, because you know, I like it's, it's the same thing how I feel about like your band, where it's really, it would be really cool to see you do that in studio, do a, with one of your songs, especially one with that you really transition back and forth. Right. But honestly, to me, it's always so much more impressive to see someone on their 30th day of tour do that after you've had, you know what I mean? That's to me more impressive. And that's where I'm trying to kind of catch up to the rest of you, is I need to kind of get that practice back and that stamina back for touring. That's to me more impressive.
No, it takes time. Like it just takes time. It's hard, you know? But you have improved. Like, I think I watched one of those same kinds of things you did, like a one take from the studio video from maybe it was 2017 or something.
Mm-hmm.
And you've vastly improved. So
Thank you. I'm trying.
Yeah. But I'm trying. I didn't hear a single flat note or anything. Like, we're, as singers, we are our own worst critics all of the time. I agree.
We're really hard on ourselves. And that's why I always find it really funny if someone's like, if they're listening to our song and they're like, do you guys use auto-tune? And I'm like, yes. Or they're like, I love that you guys aren't fake and you don't have auto-tune on your voice in this recording. And I'm like, it is hella tuned. It is slammed, dude. Yes. Like all the harmonies and stuff. I'm like, it needs to be perfect. It's my production of a song that's going to be around for all time. I want it to be perfect. But it's weird because I feel like people are really like scared to ever talk about that. That's part of the magic to me. That's part of the production. If it's good enough for Lady Gaga to have auto tune, it's good enough for me. I'll do it too.
It's so true. Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people think like auto tune, they think like T-Pain or Cher or whatever. And they're like, oh, well,
because that you suck without it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, they hear those vocals and they say, oh, well, if I don't hear that effect, then it must not be auto tune. But like,
yeah,
literally every record you've listened to has auto-tune if it's been recorded
it's
in
so
the last
weird.
15 to 20 years.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Like I think that people equate it with like you're a bad singer and so you use it, but you know, if you're a bad singer, it doesn't matter how much tuning there is. It doesn't sound good. So it sounds weird. So it's, you know, you still gotta pull your own weight.
No, it's so funny, like some of the stories I've heard from producers over the years, like, you know, cuz auto-tune was always a bit of a, and it still is, like, it's kind of a bad word, you know?
It's like everyone's so like on edge about it.
Yeah,
it's
right?
Like,
and
it's cheating.
Right. And like, I forget, well, I do remember the band, but I won't call them out. So the producer said he was working with this band, like we're talking about like legends, you know? Like a band that existed in the 80s and the 70s.
Yeah, like, so excited.
Right. And so he works on this, and the vocalist's having like a bit of trouble. And so they're doing take after take, and, you know, the guy's getting a little bit bummed out.
Yeah.
So the producer is like, you know what? I think this is really good. Like, don't worry about it. So the guy goes home and he spends a couple hours, you know, tuning the vocals, like subtly, like we do.
Yeah.
And the guy comes in the next day and he doesn't tell him that there's auto-tune, and he's just like, yeah, so, you know, here it is. And the guy's like, oh, wow, I really thought I was like having trouble yesterday, but I guess like it was just in my head. And what was so funny about that though was when they started recording again for the next song, he was way better.
Like,
it made him believe in himself, you know, a little bit more. So it's I don't know what the point of that story is, except like, so much of what we do is confidence based, and so much of it is in your head. If you think you can't do it, you can't. If you think you can, you can.
Yeah, in working in our newer songs, like everything from like 2017 to the beginning of 2019 is just we mix and match. We record everything and edit it, and then we send it to someone else to like edit it, like fine tune it a little bit, and then we send it to our producer Dan Bronstein.
Right.
And he mixes, you know, he just mixes it, masters it, but he wasn't there for it. And the last three things that we've done, one was the Holy Roller song was remotely, but we put out two other songs that we actually, you know, he came here and we wrote the song and he was here and we wrote it. Yeah. And then we flew down to LA and we actually recorded it with him, and he was able to produce my vocals and like it helped me. And it made me realize how little confidence I have, because when I finally had someone who did this as a profession, you know, like actually who I've known for 8 years, who's been helping me, but being there in person with him, like it just made me realize, man, like, I think, are all vocalists like so unconfident like this, where I'm like, I don't think I can do that. No. And then he's like, why don't we try? Right. And then I, of course I can do it. But, and then I got more confident, but like, I don't know. I don't know if that's like a vocalist thing or something, but it, I'm trying to change that mentality. I'm so insecure about everything.
Like 100% is like, I remember there was this time on one of our records when we're working on harmonies and like sometimes, you know, you're trying to figure out what they are. So you have like everyone's
kind of.
Sometimes
you have to switch.
Yeah,
you have to go from the top to the bottom one, and you have to make your own. So you're trying to make it.
Right. But like so much of the time, and any vocalists that have recorded records will know this, like the producer will be like singing, but it's like falsetto. So he'll be like,
yeah.
Da, 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 da. And you're like, I can't hit that fucking note full voice. What are you talking about? So I'll say
you
things
know
like
it's
that.
It's an even weirder layer for me. It's even weirder because the guy will be like, well, it'd be really cool if you go da 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 in their tone. And I'm like, okay. So for me, that would mean like me sounding like this. Not, you know, like it's not, you got to remember, you know, you guys are used to working with guys. I have a different registry of my, like the tone of my voice. So it's, there's things that sound really cool. Like something that would sound really cool with your tone of voice, if I tried to sing it, it wouldn't sound as powerful, you know, because it would, my voice is a bit lower.
Sure.
It feels more comfortable and like, so that you lose like the emotion of you stretching to hit a high note.
No, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But no, sometimes those things will happen where the producer will be like, you're like, well, I can't, and then you actually like you're trying to do it, or you'll argue. You're like, I can't do that. That's too high for me. Like, I cut myself off at a C, or you know, I can't sing higher than C. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't sing higher than C. Then you're like trying to work it out, and you accidentally hit that note like flawlessly. And you're like, wait a second,
were you recording that?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is, and I think it is totally like it's just singing is fucking scary, and like when you're in the studio. And, you know, you're in a different room and maybe the whole band's there, maybe not. But, like, regardless, like, your voice is under a microscope. And it can be, you know, it's like you're really putting your entire soul into it. Like,
well, that's another thing where now that we're able to, you know, we're able to now we're investing money back into our band. We're able to afford to work with, you know, with Dan as a producer and all that stuff. It's really for me a novel thing that I haven't experienced, because in my old band, I Wrestled a Bear once, you know, we recorded ourselves. Very, very horrible call to do that, by the way. But we recorded ourselves instead of paying a professional, we just like, hey, we should probably take all this money that we're being given and put it towards other stuff, like food, and then just record ourselves. Not a good idea. And then also for Spirit Box, like, I, you know, that was just, what else were we going to do? My husband, Michael, happens to be, you know, very good at production stuff. So, you know, we gotta cut corners in any way we can and do it ourselves. So this is my getting to work with Dan now, like face to face, and then him, us doing like writing sessions together and then recording in his studio. It's the first time I've ever gotten to do that.
That's
really
so wild. That
and, so and wild. You know, other than being like a teenager back when you had to go to a studio, you know, you couldn't do it yourself.
It is really showing though. I mean, you guys are doing so well. Congratulations on all the hype you guys have right now, all the emails I'm
getting.
It's
weird.
And,
I keep waiting. Everyone's so nice. I
saw
keep
today.
For mean stuff.
Right? Well, hey, it's coming. It'll come. Don't worry. Get ready for that. Keep the skin thick.
Yes. Luckily for me, we were in very polarizing bands before that either people liked or they hated a lot. So no one can say anything meaner to me than I've said to myself.
Also, congratulations on the Sirius XM radio play for Holy Roller.
That's so
unexpected.
I know. Well, we sent it to them a while ago and they were like, thanks, but we'll pass on this. And we're like, oh, damn it. It's like, this is probably the shortest song we'll ever have. So it's like good for the radio
right.
for that. And then they let us know after. They're like, hey, you know what? Let's do it. So they gave us a chance and it makes me, it's weird. We heard ourselves on the radio. We got Sirius XM when our first song went on Octane because we were like, well, we have to have Sirius XM so we can hear our song on the radio. I've never gotten to do, I've never done that before. But it's one of those weird things. Like, I don't know if you remember when you guys first started having that trajectory in your career where it's like this little fairy tale and you're the new, young, cool band and everyone wants to show that they know you. And then once you become the cool band, then it's like not cool like you. And then people are going to be like, I'm sick of this band. Or like, they changed a lot. And then you crash down and then you know, it's like ebbs and flows. So I'm waiting. It's like a roller coaster. I know the drop's coming, but I'm trying to like really like relish this nice, happy honeymoon part right now. I like it.
Totally. I love that. Well, yeah, you're very self-aware and you kind of know what's going to happen. That's yep. good. That can only help your future. Although, man, it must just like I was having this conversation with you know, I forget who, but like another, you know, established artist that mm-hmm. had put out, you know, they put out an album. Oh, I know. It was Chris from Maelstrom. You know, they're putting out their sixth album or something.
Yeah.
And during the quarantine, and he's like, yeah, you know, it's fine. Like a lot of people are sitting around not doing anything. So maybe they'll check it out, you know. But the problem is like if you're a new band and you're relying so much on the road and touring and stuff and you have that taken uh-huh. away, it's much harder to, you know, that's just a huge avenue taken away from your promotion.
Yes, it is. And, you know, the thing is, lucky for us, we've just spent so many years and time and money and, you know, it's lame to say sacrifice because we've sacrificed is stuff that we didn't want to do, like have kids and go to school and stuff and do all that stuff. It's like we're fine with that. It doesn't really feel like a sacrifice. It's just living the life we want to live. But, things have now because of that, like we've learned that, you know, there is a little, you can spend less money and time and effort, like busting your ass touring. If you already have the foundation in the back, the foundation of like knowing what it's like to load your stuff on stage and stuff. And so we're able to, because of that, like we were able to focus the last 3 years more so on building our fan base online yeah. and having people, attached to us that way. And then because in the back, you know, we always know in the back of our minds, like when the time comes to tour, we already have that foundation and background of doing it a lot. So we know we're going to, you know, we can improve a lot, but it's not the same as if you're like 16, you've never done shows. Of course you should be getting out there and learning and getting exposure to that. But you know, the internet's crazy, man. Like we've been able to build up a little really crazy psycho community and they're really helping us. It's showing like and it's allowing us to not have to spend all of our money on a tour van and a trailer yeah. and buying a $10,000 merch order and work visas and all that
sure,
stuff.
For sure.
Cause we were, you know, if we had the money to do that, I mean, I'd be out on the road, you know, 10 times a year, but until recently we didn't have, you know, we were all people with not a lot of money and grown up expenses. We're old. we're all in, you know, in our 30s. So we have a lot, you know, we have mortgages and car payments and stuff. So we can't just jump off and go do a tour for fun to play right. 10 people every night.
Right. So,
you know,
that makes a lot of sense. My question here is, and this is related to I Wrestle Bear once, but mm-hmm. here's how I wrote my question down, and I'm just going to read it verbatim. I don't usually read, like I usually have notes, and I kind of sometimes I'll put little points what I'm going to say, but I'll read this one just straight up. So let me psychoanalyze you for a second. Your first foray into the professional world of music was literally zero preparation. One day
yes.
you're playing to Warped Tour crowds. I imagine you're meeting fans and doing signings. You had no
yes.
time to practice, prepare mentally or prepare physically. Now with Spirit Box, it's your band. Was it important
yeah.
to really take the time to get everything right? The complete
yes,
opposite
exactly.
of your experience with I Wrestle the Bear once.
Yes, exactly. It's like now, you know, we always are going to have that urgency because we're not 19 years old. You know, I'm going to be I'm 31. I'm going to be 40 in this decade. You know, so like I don't have time to like, you know, fart around. Like I don't know. I think that's why like every decision we make, we take it so seriously and we're so obsessed with it. But then we also try to follow our gut and have the you know, be spontaneous. For instance, like putting this song out, that was just, hey, fuck it, let's do this. And like the Holy Roller song and making a video and stuff, this was just going to be like a fun little surprise song on our album, like to make people laugh, be like, oh, a heavy song. So we were just like, eh, let's just put it out. It's the one song we can record on our own because we don't have singing and we feel comfortable doing it without Dan, like with him from afar. And then, yeah, I think that's why that's so perfect what you said. I think that's why we're like that, because we're so obsessed with every little thing because we weren't able to. We both suddenly joined our old band, and you know, I don't know if have you ever also joined someone else's band?
Yeah, I have. When I was young, I played bass like for my friend's band for a while, and it was almost got signed to Atlantic Records, and it was like not the kind of music I wanted to play really at all.
Yeah,
was,
and you know, you feel like you're trying to just be a supportive role, right. You know. Because they have their vision, and especially like in I Wrestled a Bear once. I mean, they had already been a band for a long time, had two albums out and had a following. And so, you know, you could only change so much, and you still have to respect and work with the other people. But now I don't have to respect or work with anyone. It's, you know what I mean? Like, there's no one else that can go, well, this is my way of doing it. I don't care. I'm just like, well, this is my way of doing it. I'm going to do it my way.
I won't micro quote you on that one. I don't have to respect or work with anyone. That's the headline right there.
I don't. That's seriously, like I don't have to take others' feelings into consideration. I only have to take into consideration the feelings of me, my best friend Bill, and my husband Michael.
Yeah.
And so we all just work so well together. You know, as we add more and more people to our team, then there's going to be more opinions. But I just really like being in control of my narrative and like. Sure. What comes out and what we produce, and it makes me, it's, you know, it's like I control this because like the one thing in my life I can control.
Fuck. Well, fuck yes. I love this.
So with, you know what I mean?
With I Wrestle a Bear Once, or IWABO, which is the funniest acronym ever, by the way. I remember the first time I heard it, we had this merch guy. I think, I don't know if you know him because I know he worked for IWABO, but he was like, yeah, he was from upstate New York, so he had that kind of accent.
Dylan?
Yeah, Dylan.
Oh my God, Dylan!
Dylan, yeah, Dylan, yeah.
We call him Dylan.
Okay, I didn't know that. Yeah, he worked for us for years. But I remember one time he was saying, "Oh yeah, no, after this tour, I'm going to go out with IWABO," and I was like, "What? Who?" He's like, "IWABO."
Oh my God!
Because I'd never heard that before, and I was like, "Oh my God! Do they actually use that acronym? That is so funny."
Yes.
And, well,
you would use it too if you named your band "I Wrestled a Bear" once. You'd be like,
"It was one of those things. Like I'd never heard that before, and then I swear after he said it, I heard it like every week. I heard someone saying it. You know, one of those.
And
weird
we say
things,
it different.
Like,
we all say IWABO, but they all say IWABO.
IWABO.
Because you know the U.S. version is always like latte and latte. You know, they're IWABO. But yeah, that guy was awesome because he was so not into that kind of music, and so he was just right up our alley, just razzing us 24/7. It was awesome.
We never felt
too big-headed because Dylan would knock us down a peg and be like, "So, you guys gonna have your honky horn songs tonight? you gonna have your little country part tonight, or are you gonna play something serious?" We're like, "No."
No, the guy's the best. But
yeah.
So, like, just walk me through what that was like. Getting the call, you know, you're young, you're in another band, but you haven't done big shows before, and then
on one day's notice,
you're under this Warped Tour microscope. I watched the video of you on the Ernie Ball stage, by the way, for your first performance.
Oh, it was so bad.
Could it not be bad? Like, this is, right? You flew in and you had to like do this thing. Like, it's impossible. It's impossible.
If you think I was singing the words to all the songs, then I have some real estate in Arizona. Right. I'd like to sell you on the beach, in northern Arizona.
But I mean, walk me through that whole experience. Take a minute if you don't mind.
Of course, I think the story is so crazy, and it used to always make me mad that like, not mad, but I just, you know, I'd do all these boring interviews with journalists, and I'd feel bad because they wouldn't really, it wouldn't be super exciting. And I'm like, man, if only they just asked me about how I joined this band because it's a really crazy story, but people don't really ask me. Just only recently, I think I was on my friend's podcast and they're like the first people to actually say to want me to say what happened.
I want to know.
It's so goofy. So I was just I worked at Lululemon. And I was at my job and I was just in the downstairs, like folding pants, stretchy pants. And then
that is so Vancouver, by the way, to work at.
I know,
like, so BC.
I know. And so I was hanging out and then all of a sudden I looked down at my phone and I have a message on Facebook from Andrew, who is a manager I work with. He's my manager's like partner and they work together. He messaged me and said, "Hi, my name's Andrew. We were wondering if you wanted to fill in on the rest of the Warped Tour. There's a month left. Chris was not able to do it. We were wondering if you were interested." And I said, "Hi, of course. How much time do I have to, you know, let my job know I'm going to have to quit and let my family know and let everyone, my band know?" And they were like, "We need you to leave on the first flight in the morning at like 5 a.m. and meet us in Oklahoma." And it was July 3rd. So I always remember that day as my anniversary day. That was in 2012.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And then I went upstairs and I told my job. I said, "Ha, guys, I have to quit my job and I'm going to go be on Warped Tour." And the reason I told them is, I don't know if you know much about Lululemon, but it's very like hippy dippy, like follow your dreams. And
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know, and so we have these things where on that year on the wall, all of us that worked there wrote whatever our big, most scary goal that we were embarrassed to tell people about,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
like one that's so big. And my goal was by 2015 to play, to be not just like play, but to be a band on Warped Tour.
Wow.
So they went over and they crossed out my goal and they were like, "Go girl, follow your dreams." So I went home and I had time to do my laundry, which was all Lululemon clothes because I was broke. I only had clothes. Like I could only afford stuff that I could wear at work. I could, you know,
right.
I wasn't investing money in jeans because I can't wear those at work. And so I literally just wore like workout gear on stage for like the whole month. But here's the best part. And you're going to like this because you know, the guys in Vanna, right?
Yeah.
Or you at least know Davey.
Yeah.
So I go up this random guy named Michael Skaggs, which I'll never forget this guy. He was like a promoter or something. He came and picked me up from the Tulsa airport. This dude I never met and drove me out to Muskogee, Oklahoma, where my band was having a 4th of July day off. And at this giant mansion that was one of their, like a guy that they knew, it was this mansion that he lived at. And so you have to imagine me. I walk up there. I'm in Muskogee, Oklahoma. I don't know any of these people. And I go into this mansion and there's this huge pool and it's just filled with drunk, stoned, completely sunburned men with face tattoos. And I'm just like, what? I don't even know which of these people are in my band. Like, who are my, I was like trying to Google my bandmates and like, which ones are they? And so then I found them because they weren't out having fun. They were all in the one guy's bedroom laying there, you know, depressed, just drinking like a bottle of whiskey, being like, "Oh God, our career's over. Oh my God, our sing." So what happened to them is their singer, they played in Dallas, Texas, and their singer was like, "Hey guys, I'm going to go." She lives there. So she's like, "I'm going to go home and do my laundry and I'll see you guys, you know, when we play at like 3. And so then the guys, when they were about to go on stage, they noticed she still wasn't around.
Come back. Yeah.
So they were about to go up on stage. You know, like the ramp. Have you ever played on the Ernie Ball stage, like the little one?
I don't think I've played on it, but
you wouldn't have had to have graced that stage, but we were on that stage.
No. I am wrong. We actually did play several shows on the Ernie Ball stage.
We were the headliner, sir.
I remember. No, well, we actually, it was a huge upgrade for us. In 2004, we did Warped Tour, and we weren't even on the, you know, the blow up thing. Like the blow up board.
Oh my God.
We weren't even, our stage wasn't even on.
Yeah, you weren't even there. It was probably like some
new one or something.
It was called the Uproar Stage. It was like not a stage. It was some people just drove a trailer. So we were on that for a while. And then we were, you know, because we were doing pretty well at that point. We got upgraded to the Ernie Ball Stage. So
we got to play
for a week on the Ernie Ball Stage, and we felt like we'd made it. So,
well, that stage is weird because then when you get off, there's no behind the stage. It's just a truck. So like anyone can just come over and be like, hey, what's up?
Yeah. No, I remember we got upgraded.
Dying and sweating.
But we got upgraded, but we couldn't even use our own amps and drums. We had to just use whatever was there.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, well, whatever. But
yeah.
But go on.
So then they're going on stage, and the reason that I find this so ridiculous and comical is that their intro song for when they'd go on at that time was that I like to move it song. So yeah. So that song's playing. They're on the ramp, and then they look down. They have an email from their singer, and she's like, I quit. I'm pregnant.
Oh my goodness.
And they were like, so now imagine, I like to move it slang. And they're like, well, they went up on the stage and they played, and you know, not to air any of their drama out, but that was not the many, many times had she not done shows. So like Kevin Lyman had already talked to them and been like, if your singer misses another show, I'm kicking you off this tour. This is unacceptable.
Wow.
And like just in general, you know, she just was a person that would, if her voice hurt or whatever, she'd be like, I'm not doing it. And they would just play instrumental, and that worked for them. Whatever.
We're done.
You know, they were like, he's going to kick us off. And we have a bus. We're sharing it with Vanna, and we have a world tour that we planned, and it's done. So they were depressed. And so I went up and met them. I was like, hey guys, I'm Courtney. You know, let's hang out. And then everyone just drank, and then we shot off fireworks, and they were like, all right, here's your bunk, go to bed, and we'll see you in the morning. And in the morning, the guys, Brian, who was at the time the tour manager for Vanna, he woke me up and he was like, all right, so every day your tour manager is going to send you a text and tell you what time you're playing. And you are a giant spoiled brat. You don't have to load up your own stuff because your band is spending way too much money having a crew do that, even though they should be doing it themselves. And here's where you go to get food. And here's how you find out where the stages are. And you have to do meet and greets. And I was just like, what the hell is this?
Right.
So we had never practiced or anything. Right. And so I didn't get a chance to practice. So then we played in St. Louis, Missouri. It was my first show. And we got up on the stage, and I was so scared because obviously that had caused like quite a stir that a singer left. And then not only did someone quit the band, but then a new person just came in like within 24 hours, which is ridiculous.
It is so ridiculous.
So everyone was there. All these people that I really admire were all waiting there to like, you know, support the band, to support those guys, because they all like them. So I go up there, and then the people of Newfound Glory are all there in their little basketball outfits that they wore on that tour.
Yes.
So I knew they were all Newfound Glory because they're all the guys in Newfound Glory wearing jerseys that say Newfound Glory on them.
Right.
And they were like, you can do it. And I was like, oh, I saw them. And then I saw the band Chelsea Grin, which I really liked. And some of them came and said, you can do it. And then some people from Every Time I Die were there. You can do it. And I was like, ugh, I was so stressed out and nervous because I really love it. And Born of Osiris people. And I really liked all those bands. So it was so crazy for me to have them watching me just, you know, biff it. But, you know, you got to fake it till you make it.
Absolutely. That's the motto of this whole podcast. Wow, yeah. that is so crazy. And then
I joined the band. And they were like, hey, you want to do a world tour? I was like, sure.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Well, and it worked for a while until it didn't. And you
now
you are in an amazing place. So, I mean, it's just really, really fascinating, you know, that you know, you just kind of do it in your little band and from Victoria, Canada, in a little corner of the country. And then all of a sudden you're getting a call to go, you know, to be in this other band.
I know. I was like, how the hell did you find me?
Right? Were you familiar with the music of?
I really liked the band. Oh, okay. I really liked the band
a little bit.
Yeah, but have you ever heard one of their songs? Like, you can know the song, you don't actually know the song. It just sounds like a bunch of noise.
I'll be completely honest. I don't think I've ever heard the band.
Well, if you pop one on that doesn't have me in it, or even one with me in it, it's just from that time where, you know, like when everyone, like you couldn't ever have a serious band song name. They had to be like a sentence.
Right.
You know, like when we all were like that, and it all had to be like an ironic, quirky thing. And then there was like a weird sample from some obscure horror, like a funny movie in it. Like in the middle before a breakdown, and then like we had like a honky horn go, and then there was a time where that was a thing, you know?
Yeah. It was the same time that you had all the bright shirts with like a robot vomiting on like a monster.
We always call them snotty monster drawings.
Right,
it's all stuff that has snot coming out of it.
Yeah, now that was straight up like everybody did that. I mean,
yeah,
I wish my band hadn't gone down that path, but we got some bad ones. There's no question. Wow.
Yeah, so
crazy.
It was, you know, it's hard to hear it anyway, the band. Like if you listen to one of their popular songs and you'll be like, oh my God, how did she learn this in less than 24 hours? And the answer is I didn't.
You can just kind of make sounds in sort of the rhythm that's close enough.
I did the best I could.
Yes.
I did the best I could, but you know, when you're a band like that, it's kind of hard to find the lyrics on the internet and to even find a song. You could, you know, this was before you had like Spotify streaming and stuff. I downloaded the songs, and then each one was like a fake one, you know, so it would start playing and then it would play some stupid like fart noise. Like they did like to trick people who were trying to illegally download their stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm just trying to learn the songs, man. Like, I need them. But it was definitely a wild time in my life. And because of that, I'm so fortunate because I got to not only join a, you know, a quote unquote big band, but I got to, you know, bad for them, but good for me. I got to join a band that was on its descent and its decline. And you watch all those things that it's easier to look back on and say, hey, I wish we had done this or that, but I got to watch what to do and also really what not to do, because, you know, I don't know if you've ever had these ebbs and flows, and your career is so much longer than anyone else I know. Most bands, you know, don't stay together for more than 7 years or so.
Sure.
And so, like to have those declines start to happen, but you're spending like you're on the top still, and then you have to like work with that, and then you all of a sudden you go back up, and there's always that like dangling carrot, but you don't want to like put your business in the red, you know, but you also want to have good production and stuff.
Right.
So it was really interesting to me from like a business standpoint, of how to learn from them, and also to learn from them, that they just never had anyone telling them what they had to make or how it had to sound. You know, they just would turn in their record, be like, here it is. And no one ever bothered them about it.
And we recorded it ourselves, and here it is. Yeah.
Here it is.
Exactly.
So it made me realize that, you know, you can start making money and you can be on a label, but that doesn't mean you have to have those boundaries crossed where someone all of a sudden tries to tell you like what the key of the song needs to be in, you know, like that kind of thing. So I learned so much and toured a lot. So I got to go to so many countries I'd never been to.
No,
so
awesome.
it was awesome. I can't, it feels like a different life. It feels like I'm retired.
Yeah. Well, did you ever have any contact with Krista after that or ever?
No, but I met her one time. When we flew in before a tour, we had our bandmate Ricky was at a party, and I never knew her or talked to her or anything. But, you know, the guys, they didn't have a great relationship. Like, she abandoned them and they were mad. You know, obviously they've since got over it, and now they all talk and stuff, which is awesome. But at the time they didn't. And so, Ricky, our bass player, he lived outside of Dallas.
where she's from. And we were getting to his house just to go to bed before the tour started. And then Ricky was like, you have to come by this party I'm at and get my keys to the house, 'cause I've had some drinks and I can't go. And then when we got there, he was like, hey, guess who's about to be here? Krista. And I was like, well, I can't leave now.
Okay.
I just wanted to go to bed. I was in my pajamas and stuff. I just ran in to get the keys and say hi to him. Because, you know, the whole time we were in that band, we still all didn't live together. We still all lived in our respective countries and states.
Sure.
And so I was like, well, now everyone's seen me here. If she comes, they're going to say that I ran away because I was a scared baby. So now I'm going to meet her. So she came and it was nuts. We just pretty much just like drank a lot and then like cried and then would laugh and then drink and then cry more and then. And then laugh. And
did she talk about how it felt like when you were replacing her? And like, she's obviously with her being pregnant and stuff like that can be.
Yeah.
That's a whole like, what an experience for her. Like, I'd actually love to have her on the podcast to talk about that.
She's had a crazy life.
Right?
And the band was very like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's an old school thing. My thing is I just like to be very authentic and honest with my fans. So when they're like, why don't you make more vinyl? I'm like, because I can't afford it, you freaks. Like, when I have $10,000, I'll make more vinyl. Suck my ass.
Right.
And then, you know, and they're like, oh, yeah, I never thought about that. Like, of course, you got to save up for it, you know? And same with them. Like, they never really felt comfortable being like, hey, so Krista just left, and we don't talk to her anymore. And then she never made a statement about it.
Yeah.
And so, they're like, but Courtney's our friend and she's going to come help us out. And I'm like, I don't know who these people are at all. And I've never met them. And so for her, I think that she's had such a unique life, but I feel like she just, maybe she's not really interested in sharing it. Or maybe she doesn't realize how interesting it is, you know, fascinating. 'Cause maybe no one ever told her, hey, I'd like to hear about your story. But she's a fascinating person and she's had a crazy life and has dealt with a ton of crazy stuff, especially being a girl doing this kind of stuff. You know, back when she started, people weren't as nice about it, you know, even though I wasn't on a big scale like her, you know, people were weird about it. I mean, you had people booing you and being like, this is ugly and gross, you know, like it's not sexy, therefore I don't like it.
Right.
You know, it's weird, very weird. You should totally have her on there.
Yeah, I mean, if she hears this or someone that knows her, you know, hey, yes, give me a.
I'll tell her.
Send me an email. Yeah, send me an email. Let's do it.
Yeah, and she's really sweet. She's really supportive of our new band too.
Awesome.
I've heard that she said that she likes it a lot, so that makes me happy.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for this. What else to tell the people? I mean, I guess everyone's wondering: is there a record coming? What's the plan?
Yes.
What's the plan with that? If I missed the release date or something, I'm sorry.
No, there's nothing. No, everything's up in the air. We were going to come home from that tour and we were going to go in April, record our record on the island, like in the middle of nowhere. And then on this mountain with a flyer producer up here. And then the pandemic happened. So of course he's American, we're Canadian, quarantine, yada, yada. So we moved it to the end of August and we have a full thing. It's been written since the beginning of this year. And, I don't think that's going to happen either. On July 21st, there's going to be they're going to let us, our government will let us know if they're going to extend the ban on the travel ban.
Oh,
on
I thought it already got extended. In.
Oh, probably has. Yeah. I heard it expires on July 21st and then, we'll know, but we assume, I'm sure that's
what
happened.
Looking
we
good.
Assume it's, no. So no one's, we're assuming that we're gonna not do it. And then we gotta reassess. We gotta think, do we keep waiting or do we try to do it remotely, like, you know, the old fashioned way, how we used to do it. And my gut's telling me no. It's telling me to just wait. And we want to like recreate that magic we have with Dan.
Well, somebody told me that if you have a visa, I don't know if you have a P2 visa or what you have, you might be able to get across the border just based on like a work for essential travel. So maybe
well, luckily I can go. I can go.
Oh,
I'm American. Since
you're
I'm American.
A dual citizen. No, but if the rest of your band members have like a P2 visa, they might still be able to get across.
Yeah.
So
Well, that's the annoying thing, because since we never toured before in the States, we haven't had to get P2s for a year, like the full year one. And therefore, right. I don't think they're really, I think they're holding them all right now. But we'll, you know, every day it's like a new crazy thing. We'll figure it out. And we'll see. We'll reassess. And I hope we can record it this year and put it out at the beginning of next year.
Right. Like, because that's the thing. Like, you guys are riding
longer.
Like, you're riding so high right now. Everyone's wondering what's next. You know,
and
usually most bands would have a plan.
Yeah,
right. Most bands would have a plan of a rollout, and they'd be figuring it out. But with the way it is, it's like, are you going to do another music video with like Isolation, or are you going to?
I don't
know. Like, what are you going to do? It's really really tough. But
we put that song out to be like, hey, don't forget about us.
Right. Well, I mean, luckily, you know, luckily the song, you know, you have a bunch of great songs, and even, you know, your last release was really great, and there's a lot to digest there. So hopefully people can, you know, be held over until the new stuff comes.
Yeah. Well, I gotta tell you while I have time, I really, really appreciate your podcast. And I think, you know, the thing that I like the most about it is obviously when I went through and I started listening, you have so many episodes, but I, you know, so my first choices were of people I know and that I've toured with and that I'm friendly with. And it's like, I've never met them before. You just get people to, I learned more about like Landon from The Plot and You on your podcast than I ever learned in all the tours we did together. And same with Davey and Vanna. I've always remained friends with him. I learned more about him on that podcast than I mean, I've done so many tours with this guy. Like, you just get people to open up, and it was mind blowing to me. It's like, I was like, I just, you know, I would text them right after and be like, I just learned so much about you. Aww. That I never asked, you know, like, and it's so cool. Like, I hopefully someone that has known me in my life as a friend or something will hopefully learn something about me, because it's really cool. You got a special thing here.
Oh,
like,
thank you.
It's amazing how you get people to open up like that are usually more guarded people.
No,
or
totally.
At least are not
Landon
in that mentality.
Landon was a funny one, because he lives, like, I live right across the border in Windsor.
Yeah, so you went and visited him.
Yeah, so I went to his house, and you know, we were in his living room, like, with his dog, you know, jumping around, and his wife was like there, and it was like, it was really like kind of a cool organic, you know, way to do an interview. So I'm glad that you enjoyed that one. That guy's a trip, man. He is.
I know.
He's a next level human being. I love talking to him.
He's awesome, and he's also been really supportive and nice and happy for me that I'm doing music again and stuff. So, I gotta go. I have so many more episodes to listen to.
Yes.
And I also gotta say, there's another one that I totally have stolen this phrase from that you were doing when you were in the backstage of a tour with August Burns Red and Silent Planet. One of the many times that like Garrett was on your podcast, and you guys were all talking about being singers, and you kept calling yourselves mouthmen. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I think I was pretty drunk for that one.
You guys were like, you know, as mouthmen, we have to. So I call myself a mouthman now because of that. I was like, that's the dumbest. I love that. You guys are so kooky. So I'm almost like, you know, we mouthmen.
Mouthmen and women, yes.
Yeah. mouthmen.
Mouthmen.
So
yes.
I say that now.
Oh, man. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time and everything. And I think a lot of people, hopefully, like, I mean, a lot of people already checked out Spirit Box, but if you haven't and you happen to hear this, make sure you do that, and all the videos and the YouTube and the Patreon as well.
It's been so fun learning about that.
Yeah, it's really, really great. And it's, you know, what a tough time to be doing it, but I'm glad that you guys are having some success.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think all, especially everyone in this type of music, I feel like we're all pretty fucking resilient and and also, I mean, ultimately when all this is over and done with, whenever that is, like, this is going to be the one thing that makes people happy, is to be able to go out and experience music together. I think we're all going to be okay. It's more just like supporting each other during this. And then once it's done, I think we're all going to, it's going to be even better than it was. And I don't think any of us are going to take, it's kind of the way that I haven't taken touring for granted, because I haven't been able to for 5 years. I think that all of us aren't going to take all this for granted anymore, because we saw what it was like getting it taken away.
So totally. I think that we're all going to be even, like, 2022 is going to be really good.
Literally every band will be on tour. It'll be, like, overwhelming. It's like how sports are coming back, and they're all coming back at the same time. It's like, how am I going to watch them all? It's going to be the same with music, I'm sure.
It's going to be very overwhelming, but I hope that we will have a spot within there, too, and maybe we'll get to see you in person someday.
Yep. No. I'm sure I'll see you guys opening up for Bring Me the Horizon or Day to Remember or something real soon. I think that's what's going to happen.
Well, so. if you saw that, you wouldn't see me. I would be passed out in the back out of fear. So you'll have to fill in.
No, I won't be able
to do that.
No, you're a very talented mouth woman, and you're going to fake it till you make it. So you got it.
Well, thank you so much for having me on
here. Thank you.
I won't be able to listen to it because I will cringe at all the dumb stuff I've said, but I have this in my memory and I cherish it.
Maybe I can get myself
to listen to a couple of clips of it without getting all sweaty.
You'll be all right. Trust me. It would be probably fun for you to listen back to. I always enjoy the listen back, even when sometimes I'm like, did that go like horrible? Did I like trip over all my words? And then when I listen back, I'm like, it's always better than I thought it was. So
okay, well, hey, it's like what you were saying about recording. Like, don't be so hard on yourself. So yeah. I will not be so hard on myself when I listen back.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and have a great rest of your day. And thanks again.
Awesome. Thanks, Shane.
There it is with Courtney. I love that story about I wrestled a bear once. I mean, how does she not tell that every interview? That is gold. And she really paints a picture with her words. I can really just imagine her landing in Oklahoma and going to this house and just, oh my God, can you imagine? So funny. It is so good to see a new Canadian band absolutely killing it out there. So make sure you check out everything that Spirit Box is doing. Their new songs, their videos, their YouTube stuff, their Patreon. It's all super awesome. So I'll play the banger. Everyone's talking about it. Here it is. Holy Roller on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next week. Instead.